This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Lightstream. We thank them for making our show a possibility.
Yes, we do. Lightstream is the nation's premier online consumer lender. They offer low interest fixed rate loans from $5,000 to $100,000 for practically any purpose. A lesbian.
Black queer human being.
We are two gay dads.
I am a transgender man.
Trans woman.
Bisexual, non-binary, single parent by choice.
Can I ever have nice things? I just want nice things.
He just got spit up on.
What up, Jay?
What up, E? Did you know that this week is Asexual Awareness Week or ACE Week?
I didn't know until you told me. But now I know.
Well, let's tell our listeners at home in case they don't know. It's an international campaign dedicated to raising awareness and expanding education of asexuality. Drop that definition.
I'm going to give you the definition that the HRC Human Rights Campaign has given on their website. Called ACE for short, asexual refers to a complete or partial lack of sexual attraction or lack of interest in sexual activity with others. Asexuality exists on a spectrum, as everything does, and asexual people may experience no, little, or conditional sexual attraction.
Yes, and it is also a part of the acronym LGBTQIA.
Boop, boop.
Plus, plus, plus. So it behooves us to know about it and educate ourselves about it, especially because ace identities are often overlooked or misunderstood, and many aces still grow up not realizing that asexuality is an option. That's why representation matters. Representation fucking matters.
Ashe.
And GLAAD.org, GLAAD, has some great resources for you if you want to read more about it and educate yourself a little bit Or maybe mm-hmm. if you are wondering if you're possibly identify this way.
Yes. And don't you have an episode? It's season 7, episode 25. Asexual doesn't mean aromatic with Aaliyah and Emily.
Aromantic. Aromantic.
Oh, shit. Asexual doesn't mean aromantic. My bad. With Aaliyah and Emily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all should check it out.
One of them identifies as asexual and kind of breaks it down for us a bit. And we learned a lot in that episode. And go check it out. Season 7, episode 25. We are also going to release that this week on our YouTube channel. It has not been made available to the public as of yet, but we are doing that. And make sure while you're at it that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, because over the next many weeks, we are going to be releasing our video episodes. So you can go check them out and see the magic happen in person, if you will.
Yes.
So go
you
check
get to
that
see
out.
Behind the curtain and the whizzes. Mm-hmm. We're the whizzes from the whiz.
But okay, wait. We got to talk about parenting over the last week. I just want to say, because we talk a little bit about representation in media in this episode with our guests that are coming up, I want to talk about something. And this happens a lot. This is not just a one-time thing. I was watching with my daughter. You know, my daughter is 8, so she watches the shows on Disney Plus with people. It's not animated so much anymore. And it's a lot of, like, teenage-y stuff. And I'm watching this one with her, and the oldest daughter is going to be babysitting for the parents in this show. And as they're walking out the door, the oldest daughter is like, have fun, guys, but not too much fun. You already have enough kids. And then the whole audience laughs. Like, we're talking heteronormative fucking your parents have sex. We're just dropping that innuendo in there. And the audience is laughing, and then they like go harder on it, like, no, for real, mom and dad, I'm serious, let's not make any more babies. Like, that's okay, but it's I'm still up in arms about Velma. Like, but it's not okay for Velma to be gay. What the actual fuck? In case you don't know, Velma is gay in Scooby-Doo, and
we talked about that before. Y'all need to go listen to the episode.
Oh my god,
here's what I have to say. The only way to combat this is for us to make more shows, more movies,
yes,
more queer people, not just in, you know, one aspect of the production, but all over the place. Mm-hmm. Because if a queer writer was doing this, they probably would not.
Right.
You know exactly. What I mean? Or like, they would make a spin on it. Something, right?
Who knows? But
who knows? But we need our own shows.
Can we push the needle a little bit here? Like, this is dumb. Like, my kid is ingesting this and it's fine. I don't have a problem with, like, joking about your parents having babies and all that. But, like, it can't go one way and not the other. Like, we need to be able to make these jokes too then. The guests we have on, we speak to this so that we're going to go more in depth about this. But, E, you had something to share about
This is shoes. Serious, y'all. I need your... Can you hold my hands? Okay, thank you. I, this weekend, had to go to find shoes for my son. Mm-hmm. My son is 11 years old, 11 mm-hmm. and a half, actually, officially. He told me that. And he wears, when I took him shopping, he had a pair of 11 and a half Jordans,
mm-hmm.
which is men's size. Huge,
that's
huge.
A big foot. It's a lot bigger than mine.
So we went to the store and I'm like, okay, we need 11 and a half. And the guy measures his foot and he's like, nah, you should get a 12, maybe even a 12 and a half. And I'm like, what the friggin' dinkins? Because what do you mean he's wearing a 12? We ended up getting the 12.
Yeah.
For an 11 and a half year old. What am I going to do, y'all? This is serious.
Why? Did they size out at some point? Like, what's the biggest size they have at a
Shaq?
Store?
I don't know. Shaq size. I don't know.
Yeah, so they have probably, like, they'll have
they go to
size.
15. Well, they're so ugly at that size.
Are they?
They look like, oh my God, they're horrible.
I don't know. I don't look at that size ever, because why would I?
Because you could probably sit in there and, like, swim around. Like, this is, it's fucking ridiculous. If he's 11 and a half and we get to 17, right? Because when we get to 17,
yeah,
what are his feet going to do?
Well, here's
how
the
do
thing.
People pay for these things?
Eventually, he's going to buy his own shoes and then you're off the hook, right? Like, can we go there?
Can I just give him money and send him to the store?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right? I don't know. But this is what happens when you're raising kids that are growing up. Like, what the fuck? They're getting so big. Yeah. My kids are both going to be taller than me probably in like 2 years. And then what do I do?
You look at up at him and you say, you're going to listen to me.
Yeah.
I told my son, I'm not going to look up. He has to bend down. He has to always be below eye level.
I'm going to try that, but I don't think that's going to work for me because I am that short.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to move forward because
we got to move forward.
They're not here for us. Once again, we say it every time, and yet we still love talking to all y'all. So our apologies if we rambled. But Patreon, we have to say special thank yous to our newest Patreon members. We got three new Patreoners, and we love you for it. A special thank you to Robin Hamilton. You rock our world, Robin. Thank you. Thank you.
Rebecca Egler, you are the bomb diggy. Let me tell you that, Rebecca Egler. Thank you for your support.
You have my heart, Egler. You know it. Mm-hmm. You have my heart. And also, Michelle Marengo Liad. Am I saying that correctly? It's L-I-A-D. It's cool. It's like Michelle Marengo Liad. Thank you, and thank you, and we appreciate you, and we love you. And if you also happen to be in the lucky position to have a little extra cash hanging around, consider joining our Patreon community.
We've got various tiers in our Patreon community, starting at just $2 a month, y'all. You know how I feel about this. Join our Patreon because it's about to be on and popping in Patreon. We got some stuff coming for y'all.
We're working on it.
We're working on some stuff.
You're going to do a good thing, and you're going to get bonus content. So go over there, join our Patreon community at patreon.com/ovariestalk. We love you for it. All right. Mwah! Let's talk about these guests that we've been alluding to.
Gabby and Callie. OMG, I love these two.
I do too. So here's the gist. Queer single mother by choice meets love of her life, and the two of them set out to change the motherfucking world.
Maybe
they didn't set out to change the world, but they're doing some good work to bring more inclusive content to the screens we watch. And so we love them for that.
Yes, they have a production company, and they recently produced and directed a queer rom-com that you're all going to want to watch and share. I watched it. Hilarious. Hilarious. It's a perfect amount of time. It's well done. It's well shot.
You'll hear about it in the episode. And then we do have one trigger warning for you. We do talk a bit about depression and suicide. It was Suicide Awareness Week when we recorded. And so if you're someone who is sensitive to hearing about suicide attempts, we're letting you know that's in there. And we're also sharing a link to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention resource page in the show notes. So if you or someone you know is in crisis, find that link and reach out for help, because we're here for you and we're sending all the love.
And it's no shame around it. And you're not alone. We just want you to know that.
Yeah. And reach out.
Absolutely.
Helen and Beulah have already left the room because they're like, these two don't know when to shut up.
They're probably banging in the other room.
Oh, God. Here we go again with the two of them. They were talking about their newest toy. I can't even with this generation. All right, we're just going to roll this tape ourselves. Helen and Beulah have left the room. Hi, Gabby and Callie.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
We're great. Wonderful. Thank you so much for having us.
We are so happy to have you here. This is very exciting. When we heard from you and when when we learned of the things you're doing for queer representation, we said, well, we need to get them on. That needs to happen. You. And so here you are. And so before we say anything and butcher who you are and why you're here, why don't we just have you give us your elevator pitch? You're going to give us 30 seconds of who you are and why you're here.
Let me put 30 minutes. Excuse me. 30 seconds.
30 minutes.
30 minutes. She got this.
We're going to get really
she
boring.
She can talk for 30 minutes. She got this.
Whenever you're ready, I'll push the button.
All right, let's do it. 30 seconds. We are Gabby and Callie. We are a married production team based out of Los Angeles. Gabby is originally from Rio, Brazil. I am from Cincinnati, Ohio, which is the opposite of that. And we met in LA working on films together. And a pretty short time later, we were married. And we have an 11-year-old daughter who is Gabby's biologically, and I adopted her when she was 4. Is that 30 seconds?
Yeah.
That was 30 seconds.
Ooh, I like it. I like this. Now, I just have to tell everybody at home, we really are just meeting you now. We haven't had a pre-call, so this is everything we're hearing is completely new to us, except for the movie that we're going to talk about later, which is really exciting.
Which we have to make sure to put a link up so that everybody can check out. I only got to watch the trailer, but I'm like, where is this? How come I didn't know about this?
I know.
What? I try to watch everything queer.
Yeah, we have to find the links because this movie is out there and I don't think, because there's no representation. There is no representation of our families. And finally, yes. Here you are. Here you are. Before we get into it, let's represent your family. Can you talk about the beginnings of the two of you?
Oh, all right. So I think I was doing my thesis.
Your master's
thesis? My master's thesis, I think. And, you know, holding call. And I remember just calling everybody and say, who is SAG? You know, who is union? Mm-hmm. And this one, it goes, me. And then I just remember seeing, like, I know it sounds cheesy, but I saw, like, this beam, you know, on top of her. And the first thing that comes out of my mouth was, ooh, you're going to be trouble. You know, you're going to be a, you know, problem.
You did say that.
I did. And then, you know, we start filming, talking about the character, why not? And then during the shoot...
We just became really close friends really quickly. And we both were like, we would say things like, oh, I really want to make sure that we stay
in contact.
That we make,
That'll fly.
But honestly, like, I really loved her as an actor, period. Mm-hmm. You know, even before anything happened. So during the shoot, you could tell that something was like, ooh, something's about to happen here. Let's just lease, you know, be professionals, finish this.
We did finish the project we were working on.
But like, you know, a couple of days later, we tried. But yeah. We really tried to be professionals within, you know, that time frame. And then right after we start dating, just happening. Since then, you know, we got together, you know, she came into Sophie's life and just became mom. That simple, that fast.
So you were both living the gay life before you met.
I don't know if I would call it the gay life. I might call mine a pansexual life.
Okay. I like
that.
I
was pretty, I don't want to use the word available, but I was. but I certainly was not looking to settle down. Neither of us were really big proponents of marriage necessarily. Mm-hmm. We both enjoyed dating and dating different people, not at the same time, but but it wasn't on our mind. We weren't searching out that significant other. It just was one of those things that sort of hit us in the face, and we both, that adage that you hope for of, oh, I knew as soon as I started hanging out with this person, we knew pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It's that U-Haul lifestyle. We just know. You freaking know, right?
But like, they didn't U-Haul. They waited and they made it through a whole show, so congratulations. Namaste, because you know that's real hard to do. I know y'all were looking at each other like, the show is almost wrapped. We're almost wrapped.
It was rough. It was rough to even keep, you know, the concentration going. It was fun.
Gabby, can I just say, you have a beautiful voice. You both do.
Thank you.
But the timbre and the richness of your voice and your accent is gorgeous.
Thank you.
Doesn't she have a fun accent?
It's beautiful, but also that you allow yourself to be in your deeper register, because that's something that I feel like as people who are cis, female, whatever, that, you know, we get told to kind of lighten it up because it makes people feel a little bit more comfortable if we're talking up here. It's true. When I hear your voice and it's thick and rich, I'm like, yes. And,
you know, I was very lucky to have an amazing mom, and I did voiceover growing up. Mm-hmm. And she always, you know, that's your voice. Just, you know, make sure that you dictate, that you have, you know, a good pronunciation, and, you know, just be you. And it's hard sometimes because I hear the yes, sir, or thank you, sir, just through my voice a lot. And sometimes it just doesn't feel that, you know, fun. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, it's who I am. It's my voice. So let's
embrace it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So you had already a daughter before. How did that come about? Can you tell us a little bit about the background of that?
Yes. So I was in the military, and I was about to get out of the military, and I wanted something else to live for.
She was in the Navy for 5 years.
Yeah, I was in the Navy for 5 years. Yeah. And
did you say the U.S. Navy?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was about to, you know, get out of the military, and... I had an artificial insemination on my first try. Some way, somehow it happened.
What?
Right? When it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Yeah. And had my daughter, and yeah.
So you were a single parent by choice. You were
absolutely.
Okay, Navy's done. I'm going to make a baby now.
Pretty much, you know,
Wow. And she was 22 when she had Sophie.
Holy shit, that's amazing.
It is. When you look at our like family situation, it's not something that you can suss out by looking. You really have to ask questions because she also looks incredibly white. So she looks biologically like she'd be mine. But she's purely biologically.
And it happens a lot that people say, "Is that your mom?" You know, I'm pointing to Callie, and she's like, "Yeah, yeah, but this is also my mom." And then, oh no!
Sometimes so Gabby will get like the "Are you the nanny?" question.
Oh, I used to have that a lot. You know, when she was growing up, it was crazy because
their skin color is so drastically different, and people would just make the assumption.
That would drive me crazy.
I want to go back for a second. I want to rewind into Fleet Week. Okay. Yes. That's my so you were week. I mean, I'm a human who loves a uniform and a woman in a uniform, so I'm not hitting on your wife, but I'm just saying.
What year did they get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Don't Ask, Don't Tell was active when you were there, or was it?
It was active, and I was in when
when they repealed it.
When not only when they repealed it, I was already pregnant, and my time to get out was already there, right? And then I just remember, you know, Obama went and repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I just remember walking in and be like, "I'm gay, bitches." You know? And then everybody looked at me and they were like, "Yeah, you know. Cool." But just to say it out loud within that, you know, place, it just felt like, I was welcome. Yeah.
And Sophie's father, by the way,
was also in the military.
Also a gay man in the military. And he's a friend of the family.
Yes.
Even though he's not actively involved as dad, he's close with the family.
So you used a known donor.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. I had a whole checklist. Oh, honey. I had the whole thing.
Okay, so Gabby, we got to start with, were you always queer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. You were queer. You were in the military. You decide, all right, it's time for baby. I'm going to get artificially inseminated as a queer mom.
Correct.
Parent. Okay. So take us to that. Where's your decision making with that? Because this is a huge decision for our family.
And at 22.
Yes.
For me to explain that, I have to go a little bit more and say that I've had depression and suicidal thoughts for a long period of my life. Mm. So, and I remember during my time in the military was a very hard time. There was a lot of attempts. There was a lot of, issues, you know, and not enough people to help you within that establishment, unfortunately.
The policies regarding mental health at the time were pretty atrocious.
Yes, absolutely. So,
I just want to say I'm so glad you're here with us. I just want to say that.
Thank you for saying that. Yes. Yeah. But I knew it at that age. I knew it when I was 22 that this was it. Once I'm out of the military, there's no other reason for me to live for, right? Mm. And that's when I said, you know, I was like, all right, let's make a deal. You know, God, Buddha, universe, let's make a deal that if I get pregnant, you know, I stick around and I'll make sure that I'll never try again. And on my first attempt, she was conceived.
Wow. And I'll
quickly say here, just between you and I, okay? It was at home in a little cup with a little baster, and that's it.
You turkey basted that shit. You turkey basted that shit.
She and God turkey basted that shit together.
And it worked.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, we've talked about this. I've suffered from depression and suicidal ideation and attempts. And thank you for sharing that. And that God, God, universe, Buddha, whoever you believed in, said, okay, here's your little cup. Here's your little, was it a real turkey baster?
It was more like a syringe turkey baster kind of thing.
Okay, right.
But we still like to use the technical term turkey basted it. Because we are a very scientific podcast.
Yes.
I just want to say, like, for our listeners, if any of you have had suicidal ideations, you know, this is a struggle and there's help, find help. We'll put something in the notes for that because we don't want to lose anyone.
There's always help. There's always a way and there's always people, you know, just don't seclude yourself, you know, just at least reach out to someone.
I think one of the things I always take from your story too is that you looked for a path and you asked for an opportunity. And I think sometimes people just need that permission to know that they can look up or look wherever and ask to see that light, to see that opportunity in something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We digress. Let's get back to the story at hand. So you turkey basted it.
Yes.
You got pregnant on the first mother effing try.
Yes.
And it was signed, sealed, delivered. She was here. So then what happens? What's next for Gabby and then Callie?
Here's the baby. Baby comes in, 4 or 5 years later.
When we met?
I met Callie and she just jumped in like it was always meant to be. Like I was always just towards that, you know, my other, you know, partner, the other person that is also going to be so important on Sophia's life. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, and who, and this was a friend of yours who is the donor?
Yes. He was also in the military. It was supposed to be somebody else, but, you know, some family issue happened within the time that I was ovulating. And again, you know, I was like, it's now or never. So I didn't have a time to like, ooh, let's, you know, figure it out. You know.
Let's look at the cast list.
Yeah. I didn't have
that. Looking like true actors. And did you did you put anything in writing regarding your...
Absolutely.
And how did you go about that? Writing. Just for our listeners who might want to use this path for their family, how did you go about getting a contract written up?
So first and foremost, it was somebody else. And then my friend just told me, you know, oh, if you don't have nobody, you know, let me know if I can help. I was like, I don't know. Let me check on my checklist to see if everything, you know, lines up. It did. And so that was everything that, you know, he said that you have no rights to, you know, my to daughter, you're doing this as a donation.
He's
and blah,
not
blah,
listed
blah.
On the birth
He's
certificate.
He's not listed on the birth certificate. So, you know, it was step by step, a little more in depth. And then you go and, you know, everybody sign. We have witness. You can go, you know, to the notarize the that.
And that being said, he was never excluded from her life. She's aware of who her dad is. Sometimes we refer to him as Uncle Dad or
just his
or
name.
Just his name. Uh-huh. And he's here usually for every birthday to celebrate. But Sophia knows that she has two moms.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And it worked out. And you drafted up the contract yourself then, Gabby?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So you did due diligence. You figured out everything that needed to go in.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of thought that has to go into that. You're really
at 22. I'm amazed at you.
Dang. Like,
thank you.
What? Once again, I'm struck by the intentionality we bring to these queer families of ours.
I know, it's true. And we really start planning our families way before we get started making them. It's so true. We can't just fall accidentally pregnant and then figure it out after. That's not for us. We get our ducks in a row first. Am I right?
Absolutely. Because as my grandmother said, spit don't make babies.
It sure doesn't.
It doesn't. And one of those ducks we should add to the list of things to get ready is our financial situation.
Yes, true.
If you're thinking about and or ready for this baby-making chapter in your life, or even if you just want to buy something nice for yourself.
Who doesn't?
Right? We have a way to help you get rid of any high-interest credit card debt you might have so you can start this journey with a slate of clean.
Yes, and now might be the time to consolidate your debt and pay it off faster with a low fixed-rate loan from LightStream.
A credit card consolidation from LightStream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 6.99% APR with autopay and excellent credit.
Yes, plus the rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. And you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees, which is great.
Ooh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more.
The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/OCT.
I'm going to spell that out for y'all. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/OCT.
Disclaimer, subject to credit approval, rates range from 6.99% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.5% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit.
Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/OCT for more information. That's a /, important J.
Oh my God, I don't know if that's important. I think we should have Beulah and Helen start reading the ads.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So you were single parenting for 4 years, and then...
The magic.
Callie. So, Callie, you came in. What was it like for you? Because obviously you're super attracted to Gabby, and this is like kismet. And then Gabby has a kid. Like, what was that like for you?
So I would say, fortunately, part of the reason I fell in love with Gabby was watching her interact with Sophie. It's a really funny story. We were on set. Nothing had happened between us yet. We hadn't even admitted feelings for each other. And she was FaceTiming Sophie before Sophie went to bed. Sophie was with the babysitter while we were filming on set. And the way that she spoke to Sophie, I was just totally enraptured. And she made the whole set, the crew and the cast, she made everybody say goodnight to Sophie on the phone at once. And I looked at her and I, in my head, said, oh my gosh, I'm in love with this woman. And then I had to double back on myself and go, what are you talking about? You love this woman. Like, get out. But it was fully part of one of the reasons that I fell for her. So it made it not a separate entity, but part of the whole thing. And then the first time I met Sophie, it was very similar. I just knew that I was meeting my family. Aww. And it sounds very presumptuous at the time, but it was very easy. It always felt like we were making the right choice.
Yeah. Oh, y'all are going to make me cry. That's beautiful.
Okay, so you get together, you move in, you do the thing, and you got married?
We did. So yeah. Sophie was about to start.
I was like, oh, yeah.
And like, we were not marriage people. In fact, if you asked us, we would probably, before we'd met each other, we would have been like, oh, yeah, marriage, that thing you do to make yourself feel more comfortable about
life
aging.
Is over. Yeah. Nope.
Yes. But not only did we feel like partners, we also knew that Sophie was about to start kindergarten. So we made the decision that we wanted Sophie to feel like she had this really stable family, that she could go to school and say, yes, my two moms are married, and she would have a really clear footing of where she stood in the world with us and amongst her peers, you know, that she had two parents just like everyone else and that there wasn't a huge difference.
Right. Because,
wow,
because you're a blended family too. And so adding that extra, extra layer.
It did
symbolic.
Give us that security. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And how was that for you, Gabby? Because you had been with Sophia for, what, four-ish years before, right? Before you
about
guys
about 4 or 5 years, yeah. That's correct.
Yeah, so having someone come in who, yes, you know that this is your person and your co-parent.
It was amazing.
It was an easy transition for
you? Oh, my God. Seeing them interacting, it felt like... Oh, it makes sense, aww, you know, and she's completely different than me. Mm-hmm. So she's a lot more emotional and caring and loving, you know, and I learned so much from her on what to do with Sophie, you know, because Sophie and I were just, you know, we're equal, you know, hey, buddy, you're helping me. I'm helping you. Let's work this out. What can I do? You know, we were like just that. Mm-hmm. Once she came around, she was like, okay, but, you know, how can you be more, you know, emotional, how can you be, you know.
I think Sophie said that before. She was like, oh yeah, I go to mom for this and then I go to mom for feelings or something.
Yeah, let's talk about feelings. There you go. You go to Callan.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing to watch. I just recently went through something similar. I was remarried. We've been together about 3 years. My son was 8 and my wife said, I want to have this happen organically. And it did, like, because both my son and my wife are, they take a minute to take people in. I'm like, hey, how are you? Everybody's great. But the two of them are, And so they looked at each other for a minute and it took a little time. And then my son came to me. He's like, I love Erin. I hope she's staying. And I was like, of course. You act like I've had people in and out of this
place. Right? Who you think I am?
Like, yeah, she's staying. So it's a really beautiful thing to find your person to help you nurture your baby.
Yes.
So congratulations to both of you on that.
Thank you. On the story that you just said, I will actually pick back and say that Sophie and I used to go for breakfast every Sundays. And, you know, and then I'm sitting having breakfast and I was like, hey, you know, I really like her, but I don't know if she likes me. I don't know. And then Sophie tells me, what was the word?
She said, her loves you. Oh, her loves you. And I'm not there, by the way. There's just a video of this somewhere.
And then I'm like, what? And she goes, she loves you. Or some, you know, more kiddish, you know. But yeah, and I was like, oh my gosh, this kid sees it. Duh. Like, you know, if she's okay with it, I should just, you know, not only be okay with it, but don't be scared.
And there was the added element, too, of because there had never been anyone else in the picture as her parent, there was no one for me to compete against, you know? Mm. So even though I was coming in as a new mom, I wasn't a competing mom. I wasn't pushing anyone else out of their place. And I'm so grateful and aware that that made my transition that much smoother.
No. Oh, that's it. That's a good point. Yeah.
Are you thinking about more children, or are you good?
That is
I love Jamie's face, like, mm-hmm. This is the time.
What's the tea?
We have discussed it a lot. I would really love to adopt more kids. If it was up to me, I think I would just, like, when we are in the financially right place, to just get a whole busload. But I think that with how busy we've been lately and how well things are going career-wise, we're not sure there's a good exit ramp to do that. And I think if it was up to Gabby, I might be having the kids if it was totally up to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm done. I got one, baby. That's it. That's
no
all.
No more pregnancy. But you're not opposed to more children. It's just, you just don't know which way to go about it yet.
Yeah, I'm not dying to have one with my DNA. I feel so close to Sophie, and I don't feel like I'm missing any closeness by not having my chromosomes in there.
I mean, I'm the opposite. I'm looking at her, I was like, the world needs more of you. You know, like, it's true. Like, this girl right here goes around singing all the time, you know. She's always making jokes. Don't be fooled by her talking right now. She's a goober. She's a goofball, you know, and I don't know. The world needs a little bit more of that, I think, you know.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love that. Well, you're going to have to let us know when you decide how you're going to go about it, and let us know. Come back on the show.
we'll do a family interview with, like, the Von Trapp children we've adopted.
Yes. I love it. Well, let's segue. Let's talk about what you're doing in the world to get this queer representation out there. Because this preview we watched, I absolutely love what y'all are doing. So tell us about it. Tell us how it came about. Tell us what it is. And let's go into that.
I might first say that we have been hesitant to paint ourselves into a corner, being only queer storytellers. Mm. And I think one of our concerns was always that the second that we do that, we are pigeonholed as we can only make content for a certain subgenre of people. So that was actually something we were really nervous about going into it. And the story was brought to us by a straight, cisgendered white guy. he's a very progressive and granola cisgendered white guy, and very spiritual, and very much wants to get representation of queer people and other minorities out there. Mm-hmm. And he brought us the story, and I think we said no the first time he brought it. I think we said, like, we're working on some other projects. The story isn't for us right now.
And was that partly because of your fear of getting cornered into this whole queer thing?
Maybe partly, but we did really enjoy the concept. We thought this is a really unique concept, but I will say mostly it was probably just like any other project in Hollywood. It's all about the money. Where's the money going to come from? Mm-hmm. And at that time, we were really focused on financing our own projects. So we just sort of put it to the side, said, thanks for submitting. You know, we'll circle back to you if we have the time for this. And he kept emailing us. He truly was just so persistent. And he said, I know that you guys are the right ones to make this. I saw your first film, and I'm just very convinced that you guys
can make it.
Yes. Yeah. And then he offered us creative control over the project, which most people will never do. And we thought, okay, if we can have creative control over this, you know, we really like the concept. It's so unique. Mm-hmm. Let's see if this is something that we can make happen.
Okay.
And we say creative control, but he was with us along the entire process, you know, just showing, you know, not only, you know, showing the script, you know, but he's also very caring about, you know, the community. And he really wanted to make sure that we show not only, we show in the good light, the best light we could do, you know, for this movie.
Yeah, it was very important to him to make sure that we were not just telling a queer story, but that we were doing it right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's a true ally, ally.
Absolutely.
And did the work to get the right crew behind it, right? And that's really important for representation.
Yes.
We did. We did have a good mix of people from all different walks of life on this. And one thing that was also really important to us, because neither of us have direct ties to the Buddhist or Indian community, was to bring in an associate producer and some other people who had more connection with the cultural background to make sure that we were telling all of those stories correctly, because that was a whole nother layer to it.
Yeah. So tell everyone at home what's the movie about? Give us a summary in a nutshell.
What's the movie about, Gabby?
You're the best. You're the one that talks to people. I just smile half the time.
Gabby's like, I just directed it.
I love that you said she's the one that talks to people.
Yeah, it's not me. No. She's the greatest of like doing the elevator pitch. You know what I mean? Like, if it's me, I'm going to be here for 5 minutes going. So it was,
Which is funny because I could never do what you do. I could never. My brain wants to explode just thinking about trying to keep my mind
on. Go, elevator pitch.
Elevator pitch of the movie.
Go.
This is a queer family rom-com. That's my favorite way to describe it. And it centers on one woman who has just come out to her family. But rather than focusing on the coming out, we really sort of focused on breezing past that and what does the family dynamic look like after she's come out, after the family gets over their initial sticker shock? What does it really look like to just live in a normal family where people happen to be queer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she is of Indian descent, am I right? Or she's East Indian descent.
Correct. So the family is Indian, and the fun twist once we get past the coming out moment is that the family then announces to our main character, Savarna, that they are not only Buddhist, but the family is deeply tied and genetically related to Siddhartha, the founder of Buddhism. And this is news to everyone. And because she has just come out as gay and there's not necessarily a biological baby on the way, it throws us into a bunch of ideological questions, forces our main character to decide if she wants children, how much of her life she's going to let be dictated by her family and her new, not her new girlfriend, but her new, her partner. Yes.
I love it because it's kind of like what we do on this show. We're trying to uplift, highlight, normalize our families and all of the decisions we have to make in order to come to the place where we have a family, right? And so, like, in your movie, you tie it up, you bundle it up real nice with all these thoughts that go through our head when it comes to coming out, when it comes to our families, when it comes to how much we're going to let our families dictate. Like, it's all just nicely bundled up in this, however long it is, film. And I think
it's a short film, which I also think is important that we made
accessible, really.
Yeah. It's not a sad story of the struggle of being gay. You know, we definitely hit on the hardships that face queer people, but I think it's important for the general population to know that being queer doesn't just mean having a struggle with coming out and struggling against society, and also that being in a lesbian relationship is not inherently a sexual thing. And that seeing lesbian relationships or any queer relationships on film does not have to mean, oh, this is now a rated R movie. This is now a sexy movie.
I mean, it's just a rom-com or, you know.
This is a family movie.
I love that you said that.
It's a family because heterosexual love is shoved in our faces all the time,
everywhere.
It's in our children's shows. It's everywhere. Then you put two ladies up on a screen who say they love each other, and oh shit, what are they doing?
Can't do this.
Yep, what are they doing? Better be PG-13 immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they make it much more salacious than it actually is.
Exactly.
Like, we wash dishes, we walk the dog.
Yes.
You know?
Wear sweatpants and watch TV. Come on now.
No, but, and also to your point with the stories about queer families or just coming out stories, like, it doesn't always have to be about the struggle. And that's, we've heard a lot of folks when talking about children's books and children's books with LGBTQ characters in them or LGBTQ parents. Like, instead of the books always being the subject being, my name is Heather and I have two moms, why can't the subject just be, my name is Heather, I have this dog I love. Oh, yeah, I have two moms on the side, right? Like, it doesn't, exactly. Why is it always, it doesn't have to be the subject. Let's normalize this and just make it like.
I do think, to your point, that there are a lot of authors who are starting to recognize that. I always check out that book section at the library and at the store. And I love that now it's becoming a footnote. It's not like, Heather and her two mommies. Exactly. It's like, here's Heather's life. And you notice she has two mommies, but nobody's pointing at it. And I think that's important.
We're pushing the needle. We're pushing the needle forward.
At first, we had to have stories that were professing that because it was a big deal and you couldn't pretend that it wasn't a big shift from the cultural norm. And now I think the goal has to be to
normalize.
To integrate.
And that's the main point of this movie, at least personally, as a director, was to be able to be seen by anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your sexual preference. As long as you're willing to sit down for, I believe, 89 minutes or so, Let's stay here. Let's watch this indie movie, you know, very indie movie that we put it out to unite people and show that, you know, life is normal within the entire spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, and we had a fantastic cast. I mean, talking about Nazanin Mendy. She did it for the first time, you know.
She was her first major role in a feature film.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we have Marshall Menesh. I mean, we couldn't stop laughing the whole time. He, you know, from How I Met Your Mother to my, you know, humble indie film. The guy is amazing. So just having those kind of people on set, Matt Richards
is hilarious.
Oh my gosh, Matt Richards, he's so funny. Just, you know, regular life. So we were able to make this movie a lot lighter because of those people. Because those people brought that in to set and was able to say, hey, we're here just to make this fun movie that other people hopefully going to take something out of it, you know, and then we get this coming out of the closet, you know, very fast from the get-go. Now let's tell a story that we don't have to just focus on that.
You guys don't know this, but the coming out happens and is taken care of within like the first 15 minutes of the film. And then we move on.
So you get to learn about the family. Yeah. You get to learn about the characters and dive into who these people are.
Exactly.
And it's not pounding a message. Yeah. That's amazing.
Can you tell everyone at home where they can find this movie, the name of the movie, where they can find it? And we will share links and everything.
A couple different places
for
free.
The name is The Last Conception.
The Last
And you can
Conception.
Find it on Amazon Prime for free. We have Vudu, Apple TV, YouTube, Freevee, Google Play,
basically everywhere. Basically,
all of your major streaming services, but it is free in three different places right now. That's Vudu, Amazon Prime Video, and Freevee. I think Freevee used to have a different name. I think it used to be IMDb TV, and now it's Freevee.
So all you queers and allies out there, put this in your queue. Let's watch it. Let's blow this shit up so that the higher ups can see we need more content like this.
It's very family friendly too.
Send it to your parents. Send it to your grandparents and just be like, look, come on, let's blow this shit up. Like,
well
for real.
Said.
So that me and E can get jobs as gay people. I'm just kidding.
You're in.
I was like, wait a minute. I need a job as a gay person now?
Right?
Pressure, pressure.
Got it. That is part of it. Yes, absolutely.
This is
Sophie feel about the film? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're totally fine. I was just going to say that this is very family friendly. So there's really no age limit for this movie. Sophie's seen it many times.
Yes.
Her
Grammy
yes.
at 80, right?
Yeah, I think she's about to turn 90. My Grammy has seen it.
She's seen it a couple times, so it's very family friendly.
Grammy's been a great ally.
Oh my God, I love it. I'm going to show it to my daughter.
No, you should.
Super chill.
This has been so wonderful. And
so wonderful.
I can't wait to hear all the amazing things the two of
you. And will you keep us in the loop?
Yes, please.
Of course.
With more and everything, and just let's stay connected.
That would be lovely.
And thank y'all so much for having us.
And really. For doing what you do.
Yes. It's important. It's not. It's very important.
One story at a time.
Exactly.
Thank you.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Thank you.
Watch that film.
Yes, go watch that film.
Yes. Oh my God, so good.
Go watch it. Tell us what you think. I'm so excited for it. I love it. What a beautiful story.
It's a beautiful story. Ooh, Jinx.
Jinx. And the two of them, Gabby and Callie, are so adorable together. If y'all could have seen the way they look at each other, like they're so in love.
I love love.
Oh, young love.
And speaking of love, if you love this show and want to represent your love for us and our beautiful families, you need to head over to our shop and get some If These Ovaries Could Talk Queer Families podcast merchandise.
Yes.
We have all kinds of merchandise, and this is the perfect time to get it. The holidays! Mm-hmm. Boop, boop, boop. So many designs, and you can put those designs on any product in the store. T-shirts, mugs, notebooks, face masks, laptop cases, dildos, joke. Go to link in bio on our Instagram page to get to the store.
Or you can go to tpublic.com and search If These Ovaries Could Talk. We should be there too. And don't forget to buy the book that my former co-host and I, Robin Hopkins, wrote, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful holiday gift, especially for your parents. Go ahead to Amazon or wherever you buy your books. It's available and get If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family.
And don't forget, join our Patreon to help us create this super duper important queer content. Head to Patreon right now. Like, stop. Go over to patreon.com/ovaries talk. Do that now. Okay. Did it? Great. Sign up. All right. Good. And now you get that bonus content.
There you go. What? Get that bonus content. Bow, bow, bow. Okay. So you follow us on social media. Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And make sure you're following us on YouTube at If These Ovaries Could Talk. Check us out. We're there. We're releasing new archived video episodes.
Archived.
Yes.
Yeah. And thank you to our sponsor, Lightstream. Lightstream is the nation's premier online consumer lender. They offer low interest, fixed rate loans from $5,000 to $100,000 for practically any purpose.
Yes. And one last huge thank you to all of our Patreons who are helping us make this show. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You mean the world to us. And without Namaste. Further ado, we must say eggs,
ovaries,
out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.